No, come on. All right, Father, thank you so much, my brothers and sisters. I just thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son Jesus that died on the cross for us. Thank you for the love that you've placed in our hearts, Lord, because Jesus is there. He is love. He's the personification of love. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your presence tonight. Let your glory rain come down, Lord. Let your glory rain come down upon all of us, Lord. Let it just envelop us, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you move in the hearts of everybody here tonight like never before, like never before. And that the atmosphere of your presence is so weighty, so tangible that they can't deny that you're a living God in the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. And I pray that every storm that has encircled the people in here to keep them in a state of despair is removed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I speak and prophesy that the movement of their bodies right now will begin to take place, that people will experience healings and they will experience deliverances of minds in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you begin to touch their very heart in this moment right now, that they shall be granted a deeper access. And just like it says, a deeper fellowship with you, Lord. And just like it says in the great word of God, that deep cries out to deep. That's what it says in your word, Lord. Deep cries out to deep, that the depths of your heart, Lord, cries out to the depths of our hearts and is ushering us into every one of us right now in the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in each and every one of us. And I declare and I prophesy right now that a total turnaround in our lives takes place right now. And may ideas and perspectives and strategies and invention and all everything that God wants in every one of us, Lord, would become evident in each and every one of us, that the power, that the mighty power of God would be evident in our thinking, in our walk, in our talk, in every be part of our being in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Father, for the love that you've placed in our heart and that it will show even to our staunchest enemy. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We believe, Lord, that there's going to be mighty things happen tonight in the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Woo, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My. I've been on fire for a while now. Glory to God. Somebody ought to say hallelujah or praise Jesus or something out there. It's pretty looking like a bunch of non-believers. Come on here now. All right. My. What a presence. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, my. Y'all go ahead. I'm just going to sit here a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord for healing my back. And straightening up, realigning my back up to its proper designed form that it was created in, was formed in. I thank you, Father. I pray in agreement with the prayer that we made at least a month ago, that healing would reign in this body. And healing would reign in each one of us, and the things that are offending us, offending your spirit within us and your life from flowing freely through us now is released by the faith that you have put in us. And we thank you for that, Father. We just claim your healing. We thank you. By the stripes of Jesus, we have all been healed. And Lord, we just thank you for releasing that life within us. I bless my brothers and sisters in agreement with their prayers, and that each one in this room, Lord, would receive that which we know you have provided us in the cross. Lord, let the life of Jesus just reign within us. We receive your spirit. We receive your truth. We ask you to give us wisdom to align in every aspect of your word in our lives, Lord, that we can be out of the way, that we can be out of the way and allow you free reign within us. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the salvation that you have provided. And we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing us forth as a raising a plant, that you are nurturing the fruit within us, Lord. And we thank you for that, that only you can lead us and guide us and bring us into that perfect place in Christ, Lord. And we just desire even more to be in that place. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I'll just pray peace in everybody here that is going through a storm, that you have everything in control. And we praise you, Father, for putting us into that rest, because we know that we don't have to worry about a thing. You're going to take care of us. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hi. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm using my phone today. I just wanted to ask for prayer, I guess, because today me and my mom, we kind of got into it. She said something pretty hurtful to me. I don't really want to get into it, but anyways, I just, because I know I've told you guys, I'm trying really hard to get her, you know, down here, and I want her to move down here, but she's hesitant. And I guess with me, you know, being pregnant, about to have a baby, it's just, it's kind of disheartening, because it's like, that's my mom, like, you know, we'd like some help, and I don't know, but I know the Lord's going to provide. And if you all could too, I know my mom, she's got so many spirits that she needs to be delivered of, and I've had dreams time and time again of it. But also too, just wanted prayer that Morgan, that God blesses Morgan with a good job. We've been praying, which Morgan has a good job now, but we've been praying that, you know, somebody calls him back, or that he's gonna apply this weekend to a bunch of places, and that he gets a call back. So Morgan, he went to school to do electrical engineering, and we want him to get a good job as an electrician, because that would be great, and then I could stay at home. So anyways, something like that would be awesome. And also too, I have a lot of things going on here. Just I like too what Pat said about, because I've been having a hard time sleeping with my back, and just better sleep, I guess, for me. I've kind of been tossing and turning a lot. I just want to sleep better. But anyways, yeah, that's kind of what's going on.
Okay. All right. We're good. Now, let me get all this down here. All right. Let's take care of that peace in your heart first. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask, because Geneva is yours, and she's sold out to you, Lord. Even her own family may come against her. And we know that. We've all experienced it. But Lord, you put a peace in our heart and a rest in our mind, in our whole being about it, because we know that we have household salvation, and they're going to be delivered and come into the kingdom at some point in time. And we don't have to worry about it. And as far as having somebody to help her, Lord, you're going to help her in Jesus' name. You're going to be her helper. You're going to be there with her during this whole pregnancy. And I ask and I pray Lord, right now, that her mother would come to the realization that she needs to be down there with her daughter. And as she comes down there, she's going to be completely delivered. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Geneva's mom. And Lord, not only that, that she would have a presence of mind to be just as gentle and a joyful spirit in the name of Jesus. And I command and bind up those demons that are driving her, and I command them to go from her in the name of Jesus. We don't tolerate that in the family of God. And we praise you, Father, for giving Geneva peace about her mom. And as far as the back goes, in the name of Jesus right now, I command that back to line up with the word of God and not give her to be a problem anymore. In Jesus' name, I command it by the power and authority and the blood of Jesus that she's healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to sleep every night just as peaceful and restful as any other time in her life. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We declare, decree it by the blood of Jesus. She's going to sleep good. That baby's going to sleep too. Ain't going to be no kicking around in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
My prayers are with you, Geneva. Definitely. I hear you, sister. I have a prayer request from Rian, my beloved husband. He prays that you would all pray for his complete healing and stand with him in faith that the spirit of infirmity has left, and that he is no longer under the curse, and that he walks in freedom and in perfect health, because nothing can touch him. Do you all agree?
Yes, absolutely. The spirit of what? I'm sorry, Claire, I missed that.
Infirmity.
Oh, infirmity. Okay. All right. In the name of Jesus, just got to go. You get off of that man right now in Jesus' name, and don't you even think about coming back in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Rian is healed right now in Jesus' name. And we command every symptom to leave his body right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Rian is completely healed and he feels good. He's going to come home. He's going to bounce around like a brand new man in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe it. Glory to God, glory to God.
Thank you.
Amen. Rian, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Who's that cowgirl you got with you? Amen.
Your daughter.
What? Yeah.
Talking about Claire's daughter behind her.
No, I'm talking about Rian down at the bottom, Rian at work. He's down there at the bottom. Got a picture of some cowgirl with him. I don't know who that is. Oh, homeless gal.
Looks like an alligator hunter.
Could be. Could be. All right. Who's next? Hey, girls. That's Mika and Tabitha, isn't it? Hey, girls. How y'all is? How y'all doing? Everything all right? That's cool.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, yes. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or testimony? Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Man, it's all kind. Let me tell you a little story. Y'all want to hear a story? Unless somebody got some prayer.
Tracy put something in the chat. She wants to share a testimony.
Oh, okay.
Can Tracy speak or no?
I don't know. I just assumed she could.
Oh, okay. She says, hey, all, I got to share my testimony with our young nurse who is married and believes they can't have kids. Please pray the seed grows. Yes, amen. We just command that that baby to be born in them right now in Jesus' name. Whatever they want, And it's going to be a lovely child in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for this lovely baby. Amen. That she's going to have. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Father. I just focus all of my attention on that woman right now. She's going to have this baby. Mom and Daddy's going to be so wonderfully blessed in Jesus' name. And Tracy be able to tell her it was Jesus. It was Jesus. All right. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Anybody else? I read the story. I saw the story. One of the other. I don't, you know. Anyway, this guy. Amen. Amen. He'll have 15 babies. Maybe not that many. Maybe not that many. I can't remember. Jewel something or other. But he was a baseball player. But he was a Christian. And he was real good. And he had real prospects of going pro. And one day they were playing, they were going to play a team that they'd never played before. And they were all out there getting ready for the game and all this stuff. And a guy from the opposing team came over and talked to him and said, you've been having some problems, haven't you? He said, yeah, and he'd had a wreck some time back or something. And he said, yeah. He said, let me pray for you. And the baseball player was just astounded, you know. He'd never seen this guy before. And he put his hand on him. He said the electricity from God went through his whole being. And it was like, he said it was just like God's heart was beating inside of it. And anyway, it was such a revelation to him. It was such a profound happening in his life that he quit baseball. He quit school. He was big time. I mean, he was going all the way with baseball. School too. He was, you know, big time in school, college. And he just quit it all. And he went out and did what the Lord wanted. He had a 7-day fast. And then he did a 40-day fast. The 40-day fast, he said, in that fast, he was walking out and the Lord took him out of his body and took him to this place. He said he saw mountains out there in this place. And he had this word of God in his hand. He had this Bible in his hand. And he said that the Bible was just bright. You couldn't, if it, in the natural, you couldn't look at it. It was so bright. It was so bright. And he took that Bible and he moved it like a sword, and the mountains came down. And he sat there with the Bible, and the Bible opened up. And inside of it was a heart. He said, first, I'm sorry, I missed this part. He said, there was something going ta-tum, 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 out of his Bible. He said, what is that? What is that? And he opened the Bible up, and there was a heart there. And he said, it was ta-tum, ta-tum. It was beating. And there was an angel out there that said, it's alive. Talking about the word of God. And he went back into his body at that time. And that was the end of the experience that he had at that time. It's alive. And the Lord placed in him a desire to read and study the Word of God. And he had these experiences all during his walk, still is having them, I guess. But when he prays for, this is what they say, I don't know. When he prays for somebody, puts his hand on somebody, they feel the presence of God in a way they've never felt it before. And it stays with them for a while. And that's part of his ministry, I guess, something like that. But what it was, the reason that God is using him in this way, and this is what I was getting to, is because he stopped everything with the world and started running to God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And God has used him in a mighty, mighty way. People get healed. He said people that are lost are getting healed when he prays for them and they come to Christ. When he lays their hand on them, they get healed and they feel that power of God and they feel it for days after he puts his hands on them and they come to Christ because of it. He said one time he was out and the Lord showed him a guy. He said he fights these demons and principalities all the time, but he's got the power of God. God showed him what fear was one time. And the fear, he said he was in the spirit, and this great big demon came at him and told him he was more powerful than he was. And the fear hit him, and the presence of the Lord left him. When he did that, and the demon was coming after him to get him, and the hand of the Lord pulled him back into his body and told him, he said, you're not allowed to back up. You're not allowed to get fear. You have my power behind you, and you are not to back up anymore. You are to go after him with everything that you have. And I will be your backup. And he said, from that point on, he was not afraid anymore. And he said one time he was out in the crowd and he saw this Satanist. He knew he was a Satanist. He had pentagrams all tattooed on him. And he walked over there. And the Lord told him, he said, and he always used his power that was more power than their power, you know, to come against these principalities and powers of the air. And this guy was a Satanist and had been one for quite some time, it looked like, he said. And the Lord told him, he said, I want you to show nothing but love to him. And he went over there and he said, I just loved him. I told him about Jesus. I told him about the love of Jesus, that Jesus loved him and loved him. And said the guy got just mad, got steaming mad. And said he got up and he drew back to hit him and he couldn't move. He couldn't move. He was frozen. So he said, what's going on? What's going on? And the guy, the other guy said, there's an angel holding you. He said, I can see the angel holding him back. He said, there's an angel holding you. And he sat back down and this guy ministered to him and brought him to Jesus. A guy that didn't know anything about the Lord other than to fight against him. And the love of Christ brought him into the kingdom. The love of Christ brought him into the kingdom. Not fighting the strength of Christ, but the love of Christ. That's the strength of Christ right there. It's the love of Christ. And that'll bring all of them into it. We can't sit around and argue with somebody about doctrine. We just have to show them the love of Jesus and that'll bring them in and speak about the love of Jesus in their heart, how much he loves them and how much he wants to take care of them, how much he wants to deliver them and heal them and set them free. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, my, 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 my. That's what I've been pumped up about all afternoon. Glory to God. Anybody got any comments or more prayer or anything? Yeah, Missy.
I want to know where you read this. Where you what? I want to read it or whatever it was.
I'll try to remember what I don't know, man. I just came on to it, and anyway, if I find it, I'll try to send it to everybody.
Okay.
It's the deal. Here's the deal, Lord. The deal is get in the Word of God and get that love of God in our hearts. And once we get that love of God in our hearts, that's the power right there. That's the power that's going to break the yoke of everybody that we run into. It's that love of Christ instead of just going, boy, you messed up, Lord of God. I can tell you how to come out. No, it's just God loves you, man. God loves you so much that He wants nothing but you. You know, want you just like you are. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit brings out in you. And to be led by the Spirit, you have to what? You have to get in the Spirit. Amen. Somebody got in trouble? Who is that? Louise and Will? Having trouble, David? Okay. Well, we command that communications to be established and not mess up again in Jesus' name. Down in over there in South Africa, in Jesus' name, right there where Will and Louise is, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Oh my, 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 my. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Settle back down, I guess. Yeah, Pat.
I thought it was interesting that when he opened the Bible, it was the heart that was revealed there. And just the fact that
God.
Word is connected.
Is alive.
God bringing us into that new heart. Removing that old heart at the cross and delivering us and bringing us and giving us a new heart, His heart. So I thought that was very, and it came out of the Word. Came out of the Word. That was quite a revelation, just in that small bit right there. So,
amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me get David, Missy. Let's see what he has. He's had his hand up for a while. Go ahead, David.
Listening to that was just amazing, Michael.
Yeah.
It really touched me. And I need prayer. That God could put a love in me for those who do wrong things, and I want God to put that boldness in me to where if they try to get me to do the wrong thing, I could stand up and be like, no, that's against God. And do God's will. And show His love to the rest of the workers and to the boss. So they could feel the presence of God around me.
Amen. Lord, you heard David's request. I want everybody to focus on David and the Lord touching him, because He's fixing to touch him. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the power and the authority and the love that only you can impart, Lord. Be completely immersed into David's heart right now in the name of Jesus. And that nothing or no one will veer him from the truth and the commandments to disobey what you have said, Lord. Give him the boldness to speak love out of his mouth and say, no, I can't do that. The love of Christ won't allow me to do that. And I thank you, Father, that you are doing that into him and giving him wisdom, discernment, and love for the very people that have hired him and want him to do things that are not legal. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to, David's going to go in there with a peace in his heart. He's going to go in there with a love in his heart for these men. And they're going to see it. And they're going to change. And then because of David and his love for you, Lord, that this company will prosper because of it. And we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord. It's being done right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for showing favor with this company for David. They can't do nothing but it because he's got the love of Christ all in him right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for anointing him and Alina too in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father. It is done. It is done. He put rest in his heart that nothing can. He's got the sword. He can do just like that man did. He can just swing it and the mountains go down. They're leveled. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Ooh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I feel it. I don't know about y'all, David, but you got it, brother. You got it. You got it. Amen and amen. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. My, 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 my. Okay, Missy.
I had to think a second what I was going to say. Well, that heart, you know, in the Bible, it, you know, Jesus is the Word and it's alive. Jesus is alive. It's like, you know, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. I look at the Bible as being that mirror. Because when you look in that mirror and it says what it says, if you are a believer, you're in Christ, what it says about Jesus, it says about you. That's who you are. You know, if you were crucified with Christ and it's no longer him that lives, but it's Christ that lives in you, then, you know, it is alive. Jesus is the Word, you know. He is that Bible. He is that Word. He's the Word that was made flesh. You know, so that's just what really came to me. It's like, well, yeah, it is alive. You know, if you can just, it's like, you know, I'm reading in Faith for All Things, and I'm where David's really getting into, you know, faith through imagination, you know, and just really, and it's such a revelation, and it's so encouraging. It's like, oh Lord, help me to really imagine in my mind everything that I pray, that really be my habit, you know, and not focus on, you know, in the prayer, you know, like not in my mind thinking about, in my mind having the picture of how things are, but that in my mind in faith see what I'm praying, you know. But anyway, it's really revolutionizes your thinking, you know. It really just, yeah, if y'all aren't reading that, you gotta read that book. I mean, it's so great. It's awesome because,
oh, Faith for All Things.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're studying now.
Yeah.
Here locally. Yeah.
But yeah, it is the Word. If you can, I'm so glad that Isaac shared about what he David said. What did that Greg say?
Oh, Greg's up to it again.
Anyway. I must be loved. Anyway, but what Isaac shared about, you know, you look in that mirror, was Jesus sick? No. Was Jesus under the curse? No. You know, and it's like, you know, you no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in you. You really got to see Jesus, you know, and he's alive. That word needs to be alive in us. Jesus is alive in us, you know, that heart is, you know, and that heart, you know, is what pumps that blood through, you know, spiritually, you know, love is, wow. This is something you could think about and ponder on, you know, really, you know, like, Lord, really give us a revelation like never before of your love in what Michael shared and just, wow. Don't know what I'd say, but it's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's so awesome. It leaves us wordless sometimes, doesn't it? Amen. Oh, Julie, you just missed it. You're going to have to go back and listen to it. I ain't lying, girl. You're going to have to go back and listen. But anyway, yes, I was reading, and I have been for a few days now, is John 15. That is such a powerful, powerful chapter in the book of John. Have y'all read it? I'm just asking. I don't know if you have or not. But it is. It's a powerful, powerful. He says it twice in this chapter. He said, I command you to love your brother, to love your brethren, to love one another. I command it. That's a command by Jesus, is to love one another. What we want to do, we want to beat love into people sometimes, don't we? We want to just pound them with love. Listen, bless God, you got to, not, you know, we want to go that route rather than being calm. And just bring love, to show the love that Jesus did. Remember the lady that was caught in adultery? And they come out there and throwed her out there in the sand or in the dirt. Well, it was sand in the movie I watched. Anyway, you know, and they said, well, what are we going to do about this? We caught her right in the act, you know. Blessed. Well, where's the man? And the first question I had, where's the man at? But anyway, they had the girl there and the lady. And Jesus didn't show her anything but love. He never scolded her for, never said anything about it. He said, the one who has no sin cast the first stone. And he wrote something down in the sand. I'm not sure what that was. Anybody know what that was? I can imagine, but I don't, you know, just in my flesh. But anyway, they all took off. And he told her, he said, go and sin no more. That's the love of Christ. We can't just beat somebody over the head. Look, you just messed up. Bless God, don't you never, ever, as long as your eyes is open, blood flowing in your veins, do that again. You know. But no, we need to show love to everybody, even to our enemies, just like he was talking about that satanic guy, and brought him to Christ because of the love and the power of God on him too, because of that love. We can do a whole lot more. What's that saying about honey and you can draw more flies with honey than you can with something else. I forget what it was. It's something. What? Well, whatever it was, anyway. Okay, anybody else? Y'all look bored. Is this boring to y'all? Yeah, David. I'll get right to you, Pat.
Actually, would like to share something interesting that happened a while ago. My wife was battling with some spirits at night, and I was laying there, and she's like, can you pray for me? And let's cast these out of me. And I'm like, do I just right away just say the words to cast out? And then my spirit just started praying. And I was like, wait, I got to get ready first in spirit before, so that way they don't come at me. And I'm praying in my spirit, and then I see this slight vision. It was a sword. And in my vision, I picked up the sword, and then I remember the word. It was like, now. And right then, I started casting everything out, and everything left, and it was all gone. And it was just a cool experience.
Praise God.
I felt it come out of my stomach because I was really nauseous right before. And I felt it come out of my stomach and all the nausea went with it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Pat.
Sorry about that. It took me a while to get the button off. I hit a scripture the other day. I asked the Lord to show me where we were at and in this process. Lord, would you guide me in your word with a scripture that addresses where I am today? And he took me to a scripture in Luke. And I think that these scriptures are also where the Lord is taking us. And so the scripture that he took me to is Luke 1:51, and he hath shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And he hath put down princes from their thrones, and he has exalted them of low degree. And as I was thinking about that, and then he said, he hath given help to Israel, his servant. And so I don't remember what I clicked on or whatever, but he also took me over to Psalm 105:19. And that Psalm is talking about Joseph. And the whole psalm, if you read the whole thing, it's talking, it really gives a wonderful emphasis or aspect of how God has an overall plan. He has a plan and because he has a plan for your life, my life, our lives, he also has a purpose for everything that he brings into your life in order to bring about the necessary responses out of our heart of faith that develop us in order to be able to accomplish the very purpose that he's formed us, that he's created us for. And in that thinking of just that pondering of Joseph's life, this is the scripture that he led me to, and that was, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And then the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. And I was just focused on that one little scripture. If you go back and just read about Joseph's life, he's a kind of a type of Christ, and or the man child, or however you want to put it. But the interesting thing that when he was a young child, he had a dream. God gave him a spirit, an imagination, a vision of what he was going to do with Joseph. And I think in his excitement and in his immaturity or his youth, he told his brothers and sisters and thought, you know, and his father even, maybe thinking that they would be really excited about this really neat revelation that he got. And of course, it didn't go over, it didn't pan over too well. His brothers hated him and eventually tried to kill him and tossed him in the hole. And his whole family basically turned against him, with the exception of his father, but they, for all intents and purposes, killed him, got him out of the picture. And God used that point and that thing and took him into a foreign land, sold him as a slave. And if things couldn't get worse, he had him accused of something that he didn't do and tossed him into prison. All of those things were working responses and things within Joseph that were developing him and training him and bringing out the word, that vision, that spirit that God had given him before, was developing the container necessary to house that, to use that for that particular purpose. And so I just, as I got to thinking about that one little verse that said, until the time that his word came. And that speaks to me of just saying, number one, that Father has the timing of this whole thing in his hands. Nothing's out of his control. He knows exactly what has to happen and what kind of influences he needs to lay down and what battles we need to learn to fight and overcome and what we need to do to receive and be prepared for the time that we're coming into. And until that time that his word came, speaks to me of saying his word, that word is Jesus, the life of Jesus within us being revealed. Until that word came into existence, into relevance, into resting within us, until that word came, the word of the Lord tried him. So the whole purpose of our process here, and that's why I keep going back to that new heart that is promised in Ezekiel 36, when God said, speaking about in the time of the future, there's going to be a repentance and there's going to be a move of God's Spirit that restores I believe to the degree that we as Christians are going to experience God in a greater revelation, a greater experience that is going to be such that it contrasts what we're living now. And I believe that this is what God is bringing us to. Until the time that his word came, and I believe that we are coming into a time when God is preparing us now. God is preparing many people now. And this, when it is time, that word, he will empower that word to live freely and unrestrained within us, and the life of Christ to flow freely. I believe it's going to, that even we will recognize the contrast. I believe that we've had tastes or experiences of it in the past where we wonder if we were even saved before because of the new experience that we've felt with Christ. I'm sure that we've all had that experience at a time. So I just feel that I'm encouraged, even through the struggles, I'm encouraged that in the comfort that God has the plan, and none of this is out of his control, and everything is going according to his timing and his schedule. So that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? In John 15, as they say in the churches, if you have your Bibles, read with me here. If you don't have them, go get it. Or get your iPad or your whatever. This is such a wonderful chapter. In the whole, one of my favorites in the whole Bible, that in Ephesians, but this is a good one. John says, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit from itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Once saved, always saved, out the window. But what does that mean to y'all, to abide in me? Jesus was talking about abide in me. Of course, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about the word of God, because that's Jesus. He tells us it is. If we abide in the word of God, if we're not abiding in the word of God, folks, if you're not reading, studying the word of God, you're not abiding in Jesus. And that's been the mistake of most of apostate religion. They rely on that preacher up there to tell them what the word says rather than abiding in the vine. Yeah, Missy.
I always also took abiding in as, you know, if you don't know the word, how can you obey it? So abiding is also obedience.
Is sure. What I've and he tells us that on down in the chapter.
Right. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
I did what?
If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will. But also it's if you love me, you will keep my commandments, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so it's imperative, right? It's a command of God. It's a command of Jesus that we should abide in him. And he's already told us who him is. Him is the word of God. That's the heart that's beating there. It's alive, he said, the angel told the guy. It's alive, glory to God. And where I was getting to, we have to learn about the love of God. You have to eat, study the word of God. You do. You have to meditate on these type of verses and understand that Jesus is love. He says down here twice. He says in this one chapter, and he says it all through the New Testament. If you keep my commandments, listen to this. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's right. We've died. We have, Angelica. We died and had to feed Jesus the word. That's right. He's specifically saying, this is my commandment that you, I'm on 12. This is my commandment that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he tells us elsewhere in the word of God that we're to die to self and we are to serve the people of God. That's what he wants us to do. It's not about me now. It's about God's people. And that's what God wants us to show. He says he commands us to love one another. And if I love my brother and I see him in need and I go on about my own business without helping him, that's not showing the love of God. If we can help somebody, help them. I'm just starting something here. I just want y'all to take it and run with it now. Down in 17, he says it again. He says, these things I command you, that you may love one another. What is that love? I know we talked about love the other night, but we're talking about a different kind of love now. We're talking about a self-killing love. To where we don't do anything that would hurt somebody. And that's, you know, we've all been brought up, I was brought up to carry my own weight, and pull up your bootstrap, boy, and suck it up, bucko, and all that kind of stuff. When God is just the opposite. He wants us to be humble. No pride, no love for self, but love for everybody else. Okay, somebody else talk in. I just wanted to start, see if y'all want to talk about it. If not, we talk about something. But if we don't talk about it, then I got to think something, you know. I got to start another file. Y'all will get it one of these days. Come on now, to help out.
Oh, shoot. Hey, Michael, this is Geneva. All right. Geneva, hey. I didn't raise my hand. I just clicked real quick. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I was just so excited. When I read this chapter, John 15, I remember it was when I was, I don't know if you remember, but it was when I was sick and I was dealing with those infirmities trying to get off on me, and me and Morgan were believing that we were healed and we were rebuking all that stuff and COVID and all that, and God did heal us. And I remember I read that part. It says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. I looked up out of my window and there was a vine growing. And I just thought that was so cool. And I was like, wow, Lord, like, thank you, Jesus, for showing me that. And it just kind of confirmed it. And it was just really cool. And it gave me so much. It just gave me a measure of faith that I needed. So that's all I want to say.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I just put a chocolate walnut in my mouth. Somebody else is going to have to talk.
I'll talk a little bit.
Okay.
Naturally, by your flesh, you don't do these things. All right. So if anybody's wondering why this doesn't work out so well and why you can't really work this in your life and why you think you're missing this love that you want to have for others and why you don't have this selfless love and why you can't put others before you, it's because that's part of the suffering you have to go through in Christ. And that's where he crucifies that flesh to get rid of that old man. So that's part of the process of perfection and coming to sanctification. So it's a process. And if you think I'm not there yet, well, he's going to get you there. You have to have that faith and confidence that he's going to perfect you. He's going to do and will in you in his good pleasure and in his own timing. So it's first, you're doing it by faith and saying, I'm not perfected yet, but I'm seeing perfection coming. I believe I have it. You can say, there's no longer sin in me, but I have to confess my sins. It sounds like you're speaking against the two. No, you're walking by faith for one, and you're still by obedience to the Lord, you have to confess what you're not and confess the sin, but then confess the salvation and confess the healing, confess the deliverance, confess the love in your heart. You've got to make a profession of faith. So when you think you have a lack, then you confess it and then confess that you have it now. There's newness, life in Christ, and he's going to do this for you. One of the things that the Lord confirmed and has been giving me is this. He showed me Zechariah today or the other day, Zechariah 3. And if we look through that, it kind of gives you an idea how he's going to work this out in your life. Everything that you think you have lack, because yeah, you do have that lack, but all this is in Christ. All this, the abiding in Christ and all that, this is, and we have to stay in the word and let the word do its perfect work in you. And that also includes suffering, because that's how he perfects you. He has to work these things out of you, you know, and it's a trial. He'll put you through these trials. He has to perfect you by putting that old man on a cross through suffering in your life too. So that's how that's perfected also. That's how he gets these things out of you. So that you can put on Christ. So you can get the old out and the new comes in. But with Joshua 3:1, he said, he showed me Joshua, high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary or accuser. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Yes, the Lord has chosen Jerusalem to rebuke you. Isn't this a burning stick plucked out of fire? So we know Satan's there, the accuser. He's constantly reminding you and telling you and trying to convince you that you're not Christ. That, hey, look at the old man. You're not Christ. How can you be? Look what you did. Look what you said. Look the way you are. But here's what God did. Now, Joshua was standing clothed with filthy garments, was standing before the angel. So, you know, Satan wasn't lying. He had filthy garments on. And he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take those filthy garments off him. To him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity pass from you, and I will clothe you with rich clothing. So this is what the Lord's going to do for you. He's going to take all this away, and he's going to clothe you with bright white clothing. He's going to cleanse you. He's cleaning you. All right, so we're taking this by faith, and this is what he's going to do. And he did this for Joshua on the spot, so he's going to do that for us also. And he said, let them set a turban on his head. So they set a clean turban on his head and closed him. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. So now the turban represents him. David has talked, and this helps you understand. He puts a new mind, a new way to think. He's put this in your mind now. He's cleaning you up your thoughts, right? Because you have cast down these vain imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. So this is how you're doing that. He's putting this clean mind in you. It's this the new idea of what the word is for you and in you. And the Lord's doing this. We just believe the Lord for it. Remember, he's doing this for Joshua. He's doing it for you. We believe the Lord for that. He promised it. This is his promise. We're going to stand on it. Then the angel of the Lord protested to Joshua, saying, and he's protested, he means, hey, listen to this. You know, I did this for a purpose. This is what I expect you to do. Now that I made you and clothed you with righteousness, and I cleaned up your thoughts and your mind, and I'm putting a new heart in you. This is what I want you to do. This is the Lord says, the host says, if you walk in my ways and you keep charge or my instructions, my commandments, then you will also judge in my house and you shall also keep my courts, and I'll give you a place of access among those who stand by. You're going to walk in and out of the kingdom of God. You're going to have access to the king. So the Lord's going to do that in your life. He's going to put this new heart. He's going to put this new mind. He's going to give you new clothes to walk in this righteousness. But now that he's given it, we got to walk by faith that we're going to have these things and not let go and not let Satan accuse us to take it away from us. We're not let the vain imaginations come in, and we're going to have to cast them down and not receive them. And at the same time, we're going to say we have been perfected in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. We're going to confess all the promises that he has, but we're also going to confess our sins so we can remain faithful, righteous, and just before God, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a thing we still have to do along this process. We have to profess our perfection, but at the same profess we're not there yet, but we arrived by, they're arriving there and have arrived by faith. We can't let go of those two things. They contradict, but they come together, and we have to stay in that humility for that way for that to happen. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your love in the heart. Yeah, miss.
Yeah, when they mentioned about vain imaginations, I wanted to share this and also ask for you all to agree with me. You know, the vain imaginations, you know, the enemy will come in and, you know, try and tell you stuff about somebody else or why they did something or whatever, you know. Anyway, I sat here just a little bit ago and just thought briefly about a situation that I had with my son Kurt, and the Lord showed me what that was all about. And what happened was, is I had texted him Tuesday and asked him about doing a video call with them and Blake, and he didn't answer, you know, and you know, so the enemy just starts coming in and attacking my mind. He's annoyed with you. You're being a pain in the butt, and you know, da 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 da. And I was just really casting it down. The enemy was just really attacking me with that. And so then finally he answered me about 9:40. That was like 4 hours later. And he just gave me a no, you know, just, it was like, you know, the enemy would like you to think, well, that's just a Kurt. No, he's a Kurt. I don't mean like my son Kurt, but like being Kurt. anyway, and, you know, the enemy was just really attacking me. And the enemy's been doing that lately, you know, just attacking my mind about my family and stuff like that. And anyway, So I text him tonight and asked him if we could do a video call. And so he calls me. And long story short, it's kind of confusing. The text that I was sending him, he didn't get it until like 9:40. It was delayed that long. And then he was sending me a text and I wasn't getting it. He said it wouldn't send, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm like sitting here and all of a sudden it hit me. I was thinking about it briefly and it hit me that it's just, you know, the enemy trying to cause problems. It's witchcraft, you know? And he didn't, you know, I don't think he's been having any problems with anybody else with, you know, text messages. And we were thinking it was his phone. And it was like, well, Lord, just show me. No, it's not his phone. It's the enemy. It's witchcraft, you know, a spirit of faction, you know? So I called him, I talked to him briefly just a few minutes ago and told him, you know, what I believe was going on, simplified, you know, and I said, I know you know that there's evil spirits because there was a talk we had way back and he was shocked that I believed in casting out demons and stuff because there was this movie that he had watched. But anyway, it was based on a true story. Anyway, and so I just explained to him, I said, you know, I said, the Lord's really teaching me to give people the benefit of the doubt and not assume that they're thinking something or that they did something or whatever without communicating. You know, I said, you have to keep communication. I said, you know, I said, what were you annoyed? He said, no, I wasn't annoyed. He says, I was just really tired, you know? Because their AC went out and they were over at his mother-in-law's for the night because their AC went out because it was so blistering hot past 2-3 days there. But anyway, long story short, just, you know, it's like, you know, vain imaginations, you know, the enemy can help you to reason, you know, why something's going on. And if you entertain that, you know, you can take offense or you can feel rejected and, you know, and so on and so forth. And so I just would like you all to agree with me, you know, and giving somebody the benefit of the doubt or like in believe all things, you know, believe the best about someone, you know, always think on the good, you know, and that's love, you know, that's how what I'm saying here plays into this whole subject of love. Think, always give them the benefit of the doubt and put yourself in their shoes. You know, there's, you know, like this Satanist that you were telling us about that this guy was talking to. It's like, you know, the Lord's really been really fine-tuning me on and thinking of putting myself in other people's shoes. You know, Missy, you don't know the things that they've gone through in their life. You look at you. You were such a mess before I saved you. And even after I saved you, you were such a mess for a while, you know, and you don't know what people have gone through in their life and why they are the way they are. It's like, Lord, don't ever let me forget that. I want a heart of compassion and love towards other people, you know? So, yeah. But anyway, so I want you all to agree with me. I just cast down these spirits of faction and witchcraft that are trying to come between Kurt and I in the name of Jesus and between any of my family and me in the name of Jesus. And me and anybody, whoever that may be. And I just cast down these works of witchcraft and call them null and void. And I just praise you and thank you for that authority in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Missy. I believe it. Amen. I believe it. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Claire.
Missy, that's so topical, and I think prevalent for all of us. Like, we all have to fight those fights. And what the Lord was showing me recently, I think I alluded to it, but probably so cryptically that maybe it was hard to follow. But I'd been going through a few similar things than what you've gone through, not with family members, but let's say with people that I maybe think are part of the larger body of Christ by faith. You know, I just need to have faith for them. And the Lord has given me that faith, so I can't shrink back then. But what he showed me was that when you step out in love, and you it doesn't mean that you have to now, you know, go and bake a cake and give the children a gift every time you see them. It's not that self-willed, self-working love, but it's that prayerful looking at them as perfected, seeing them in white robes, thanking God for blessing them and saving them, and really not letting the enemy come with other thoughts. When you can do that and you can operate in that environment where you can have open communication, if there are spirits that, if you come with perfect love, those spirits can't hide. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to play their cards. They're going to show you, and then you're going to have the opportunity to pray even more for that person. And you're going to know that, okay, well, maybe the time for sanctification is now, or maybe this is an opportunity, if the, you know, if the hearer has ears to hear and eyes to see, that you can help them through this thing, through the Holy Spirit, through the wisdom of God. But I don't know if what I'm saying is clear. I'm saying when we operate from love and we don't operate from self-will, the unclean spirits and the spirits that are trying to hinder us, they just can't handle it. So then they show themselves. And I saw that recently. I saw how I was clean. I was prayed up, faced up, and I went boldly into a situation. And those spirits just, they were all over the show. It was so evident. And I didn't leave feeling vindicated. I didn't feel leaving, ha, ha, ha. I felt like, oh my goodness, God, thank you for showing me so I can pray more. Thank you for, not for showing me that I was right, but thank you for showing me that you are right. Thank you for showing me that you are right. And thank you, Father, that I get to pray and intercede, because I know that you're going to win here. And I'm willing to be in the battle for this one. And that's where we have to be. Isn't that what the love is? That's what Jesus did. He came in and he saw all of us imperfect things. And then he just completed that, and he interceded for us until the end in his miraculous work. And then he transcended that thing that we thought was going to hold him, which was death. And that's what we have to do. So it's not about being the perfect hostess, or being the guy who proselytizes at work, or being the guy, you know, or being anything, or being the person who, you know, gets to have her children memorize many verses. None of that in and of itself is love. It's just being able to be used as that instrument of honor. And I love that. And I'm very encouraged by this John 15, because every time I read it, I feel like I just have to plug into the, you know, I just have to be in him, and he's going to do it all. As soon as I start making plans of how I can do it, then that's where I mess up.
Very well said. Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Go ahead, Angelica.
Amen. I just wanted to share quickly too, kind of along the same vein, probably, but just on the other side of that coin is, you know, ourselves, you know, learning love, just taking myself for an example, not speaking for anyone else, but, you know, learning love is, that's a sacrifice. When you know, like Dave was saying, this is not in our nature. You know, and, you know, in a being obedient to the word, you know, it causes you to have to, you know, to put you in a position of weakness, in a place where we're quite frankly not very comfortable. You know, I mean, especially if you grew up like me, just not having an example of love. So, you know, the Lord puts us in those situations where we have to communicate, because, like, you know, the enemy will, again, like Missy was saying, will you know, try to blur the communication and the thoughts and the intents and all these different things between, you know, a brother or sister or, you know, family or whatever. And, you know, but if you're willing to put yourself on the cross in the midst of that and remember, you know, what love is, you know, that can sometimes really, really hurt because you don't know what the outcome is going to be with that person. But I would just tell you for myself, just learning just with my son, just learning how to be humble and apologize to him and say, son, I'm so wrong. You know, I'm still learning. Please be patient with me. Even just to communicating with people, regular thoughts and feelings for myself. I mean, I'm like, I literally break down and cry, you know, like before or after I talk to someone, because I'm just like, it was so hard for me. I'm literally shaking. And just to communicate, you know, you know, my heart is such a hard thing, and it is for a lot of people. And so, you know, that's the other side of the coin, you know, that when we're learning love, you know, we have to be willing to kind of put ourselves out there when we're being obedient to that word. And it's not really for us to decide how the other person is going to respond to that. It's just for us to be willing to be on that cross of love so that Jesus can flow forth through you, just like in that example that Michael gave, you know, where, well, you know, no amount of word was going to get through that man. It was the love. And so, you know, in whatever circumstance the Lord gives us to do, you know, to do that, to be love towards whomever, you know, that's an opportunity to gain someone to Christ and to share that.
Amen. That's right. You know, we're not brought up with love, you know, that love instilled in us. I wasn't brought up in a bad family by any stretch of the imagination. My parents were peaceful people, and we had a peaceful household. When you can have a peaceful household with six kids, but it was relatively peaceful. Till I opened my mouth, you know, that's, but anyway, praise the Lord for the love that God has given us. And Jesus says in that chapter there, he says, I command you to love your brethren. And he says, you are my friends. How many of you want to be a friend of Jesus? Amen. He says, you are my friends. Where is it? You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. You are my friends if you do the things that I command you. And he commands us to love our brothers, doesn't he? He commands us to love everybody, actually. Turn the other cheek. Do all of those things that he wants us to do that we don't want to do. We, you know, I was brought up, take care of Michael. And it's a hard thing for many people to give up the self-life and allow Jesus to take over. But through the love of God, he's doing it. And Dave was talking about faith. It's what brings us through it. And we have to believe every morning. I ask the Lord to give me the power to overcome everything that comes before me that wants to, that wants my flesh to take over. Give me that overcoming power over that flesh and to consecrate myself to him so that I can do that, walk that walk. And that's why you have to get in the Word of God, because the Word of God is what brings you out of all of that. That's the love. I said, when he lifted up, let me show you something. When he lifted up that Bible, he had that Bible up there, and that heart was, it was kind of a something they made up, you know, some kind of Photoshop deal. But he lifted that heart and was sitting there beating, and that angel was sitting up there talking. He was hollering at him. He said, it's alive, it's alive. Now, I'm talking about the Word of God. It's alive, and it hits the heart of God. That's the heart of God. And if that's the heart of God, I want it, you know, and we have to go for it. Okay, Andrew. Did you have your hand up? Yeah, you did.
Well, I just said hi, but, you know, I was, since you were talking about on Wednesday, you talked a bit about the temple of the Lord, and you mentioned the verse there in Ephesians of in whom every building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together into a habitation of God in spirit. And I was just thinking, you know, there's dimensions to a temple, you know, the height, width, length, and depth, and that's in the next chapter. And it has to do with the love, you know. It says that Christ dwell in your hearts through faith and love, rooted and grounded, which is very important, so that ye be strong to apprehend with all the saints the what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of the Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye all be filled unto all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God, Father. So the love of Christ and all the fullness of God. So you know, this temple building seems to be something you progress into, because you got to build up on that love, and you got to allow the Lord to finish the temple in you. And I like the very end here where it says, and to the one able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that ask or think, you know, according to the power that worketh in us, to him the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations of the ages, of the age of the ages. Amen. So, you know, that beyond whatever we can ask or think, you know, that's a second witness also for what it says in Philippians, when you be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And of course, he'll give you there too about whatever you can think or ask. So, you know, I believe that largely this temple is a progressive build, and it's built up the height, the length, and the depth. And to know, you see, this know is the light of knowledge in you. And of course, we know that the light of knowledge, it gives us the life, and the life is also part of the love that he wants to give you. Because you see, he puts love into you, and you know and believe the love that God has put in you, because God is love. And this is the inner man. And the verse says it, that we know and believe the love that we have in us. God is love. He that loveth, he that abideth in love, abideth in God, and God abideth in him. This love is the command, the knowledge, the force of the glory of God that he's put in you. You shine like this, the walls of the temple with the gold and the gems in it. And it's a refined gold, and it's a refined silver, and it's gems that are heated with fire. So their luster of them is even brighter when you go through the fire. the fires of the world testing you. And I think that this love is very much so progressive in you. It has to be. As you continue to obey, you know, all we want to do is obey the Lord. That's as simple as possible. Faith that worketh love. And of course, it's here. It's in Galatians, faith that worketh love. It's just what I finished reading here in the third chapter, faith and love. And, you know, if any love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come and abide and make our abode with him. So, you know, there are some really lovely verses on love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, but we know perfection leads is a mature thing. You know, you're warned again in Hosea that my people perish from a lack of knowledge, but you're supposed to know this, and to know the love of the Christ, which passeth knowledge. You know, I used to always think, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where it says that you may have a knowledge that's puffed up, but this knowledge builds up. And, you know, that only God can change the puffed up to the built up. And largely, you know, that the puffed up is the glory of man, the glory of the world. But you've been told that you don't have that glory. You seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord. You have the kingdom of the Lord, not the worldly. You have the Lord, and you have His kingdom in you, not the world. And you also have, you don't have man's glory. You have God's glory, because you got the inner man, and he's the glory. He's the light within your temple that's going to give you that life, and it's going to give you this love too. It just works that way. The Father wants to give it to you. He's almighty, the almighty God and Father, who is over all, in all, and through all. And that's the one God we have. And we have to have that. He's going to see to it. And that's the increase. That's how that one overall, in all, through all, from God is the love that he's going to put in your heart. He's going to do it. You have to desire. You don't want that old man. You know this all about this old man that's in. You have to consider the beast that's in you, as it says in Proverbs 12 and 10. You know, you don't want that beast in you. You don't want him to come back. You don't want him to show his head in you. He's there. If you don't guard your deposit, as the Lord guards your deposit, because he's the one guarding the deposit in you anyway, so you can't let that old nature come back up in you. Your mind has to be, your consciousness, which is also part of your mind, you know, be transformed with the renewing of your mind. Sometimes you got to deprogram. Oh, you've done this. You guys have done, you've deprogrammed those things that you were told was sin that wasn't even sin in you. When you were in that denomination, you took that out of you. You know, for instance, someone told me I can't wear a short sleeve shirt. That's a sin. Well, I got my short sleeve shirt on today. So, you know, you have to be deprogrammed of these items that you were told. You know, you can smite your own consciousness because of something that you were told was sin in the past, and it's not. It's just not. You know, we've had examples in this fellowship of such things, of the old style of religion. They didn't forgive people. They we're going to take you up, put you on a pedestal here. We're gonna tongue lash you for a while here. Then we might forgive you. But if you're the one of the elder sons, oh, we'll do it for him right away. You know, that's not love. That's not the properness of the Lord. And anyway, you know, you learn things and you want to do them. And you go and you say, Lord, you just taught me something here. Is this going to adhere to me? Is this going to come up again in my head when I mostly need it? Well, Lord, I need you to be more proactive with this love that you're giving me. I need it for it to come out of me, you know, when I need to do it. You know, well, I'll just give you, for instance, on Monday when I went for pizza with my brother and sister. I, you know, you try to confide in them on some of the things of the Lord, and they actually, you know, they're still very Catholic, yes, you know. And there was one point where, you know, you sometimes think, should I have said something there? Because we were having a conversation about the Bible, and then of course I was talking about what born again is, you know, what when you receive this new fresh spirit, and it's like and I tried to explain to them that when you receive this fresh spirit of Christ in you from the Lord, because it's a life-giving spirit that's in you, and you repented, and you may have felt sin come off you at that point in time, and then you were born again, and you received the Spirit of Christ in you, and I mentioned to him that at that point in time you had 34 full fruit right away, and you should grow from there, because the next thing the Lord wants to do is give you a born again soul. So now you have to step into barren fruit the same way that you were birthed, because the Lord teaches you when you study the word to obey, to have the love, to have the faith that worketh love. And then he works on your body to glorify God, to have that born again in your body. And I said, you know, that there's going to be some people in the very end there in 1 Corinthians 15:51, who's going to have such a body mortally, because they're going to go from the mortal to immortality and get resurrected alive. You know, and I mentioned to know that this is possible, we have Enoch and Elijah. And then my brother makes a comment from his church doctrine that says, well, Mary was the same way. She was taken up alive. And it makes you wonder whether you should intercede there and say, well, no, that didn't happen, you know, you sort of have to sometimes let those things go, and it kind of makes me wonder, you know, because I'm kind of the only one who sometimes was speaking there, but my brother spoke more than my sister, because he's actually read books from other denominations. So Anyway, the Lord warned me before I went over. You know, I started going there by the bus, and I said, Lord, why am I going there, you know? And then I said, he kind of said, you know, something popped in my head. They're going to talk to you about COVID. They're going to talk to you about taking the shots, you know. And I went, oh, Lord, I don't want to go over there for that. You know, so I pray, you know, and I go over, and it was very cordial. But they asked me then, well, what's your opinion of this COVID? And I said, it's to appoint fear and control over people. And they seem to agree, but they both have even their first and second shot. So I told them to pray that they have faith that there's no side effects of this shot on them. And whether they did that or not, I don't know. I told them about my 7-page letter from my other sister. And from our other sister. And anyway, I sometimes just don't know how to answer these people, you know. I'm not saying I have a close family or here or anything, but, you know, I guess they just wanted to see me and have a pizza with me. And that was a blessing in itself. At least the Lord was discussed. Like, they're at this point where, you know, they have a picture there of a priest giving a host, which is... which is the equivalent of them practicing their way of doing communion. And someone took a picture of that. And when they developed it, there was a light shining where the piece of bread was being given. And they showed me that picture, and I went, well, that's very nice. That's very interesting, you know. And, you know, trying not to judge them or anything. But it was tough. But I was very relaxed during it all, more relaxed than I ever was before. So praise God anyway. It's sort of rambling on too much here.
No, you're doing good, Andrew. But it's not a sin to eat peace. It's a sin to have to pay for it.
I didn't have to pay for it.
Praise God, you didn't see it, did you? Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, so, you know, I would say that the love has to be progressive for you, because we all progress in the inner man, in Jesus. And I keep, I just really love to take John 3:16 and use Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 for a gospel, you know, and of salvation even. Because there's no condemnation in those two verses when you collate them together. And you know, the love in, where God so loved the world. And I think I said that before, where he gives you Jesus Christ, which is the grace, and if you believe in him is the faith. And of course, if you the salvation is there, because he takes that away too. He saves you in John 3:16. You don't perish not. And then the gift, of course, is the everlasting life. And of course, you have to progress that way, and there's no condemnation in that. And of course, you know, we have to be his workmanship. We can't do the workmanship the old-fashioned way under the old covenant, because we're not under that. We have to do it by the new covenant, created in Christ Jesus by the inner man. So it's just a nicer way of giving the gospel than you know, there's these guys that are always trying to condemn the people to sin, and you can't really do that because it makes a wacky Christian. They have to know they're a sinner already before they would receive it. But if love conquers all, and it's the Father's love, and you can tell them the gospel that way by joining those two verses together, then it's still in God's hands anyway. You know, you don't save them. No, nobody saves you but God and Jesus. He decides to do it when he does it. So we're the mere vessels that he uses to go out in this love that he fills us with. And you know, it's just everybody wants you to love what they want to say in this world. They want to deflect your love into a different direction, and you don't want that. So, and it's to recognize, like when they brought that up, you know, here comes man's glory, you know, about Mary, you know, here comes man's glory again, you know, they want to glory in something that's something new, because, you know, I've never heard that before when I used to go there for 28 years, and now it's a new thing, and oh boy, so. Yeah, so anyway, praise God and glory to God and love God and grow in God and grow in the love, grow in the light. God the Father wants to share his glory with you. And that's all the lights, the knowledge. You know, you need to know him. That prefix, know, to know the love of God, the love of Christ, and the love of the Father. Yeah, you need to know how to love him. And we love because he first loved us. And love never fails. And God's love won't fail his child. You're a child. You remember when you first heard and how much you grew from there, how much more love he gave you to have this obedience. What is the proper obedience? Not the letter, but the spirit of obedience. I mean, after all, it's a spirit of love. It's the first fruit of the spirit of love. So you know, you can't, he guards the deposit too, you know. It's not just you, and you can't repent of the love that he's giving. That would be the worst thing you can do, is to repent of your love, and to open their eyes, to turn, you know. They have to have that single eye, that eye of prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, not the letter of prophecy. You guys know, if you've been in with UBM, God loved someone enough to share the love, and now you've got it. And now it's a matter of God giving you the seed to sow. And it's not like you go ahead of God and do this. He's going to do it. But we're getting the practice for it. And I like to hear the practice of people trying to think and say these things. I don't know if I went ahead of myself, you know. Usually the guy with the yoke on is the one in the back, you know. And Jesus is in the forefront. He's the stronger one. Two oxen in a yoke with God in the back as the farmer. Yeah, so praise God.
Amen. George, did you have anything you'd like to add? Any comments?
Well, I'm still thinking about David and his situation and how we all get put in those. And then what Andrew said earlier about kingdoms and how the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that he puts us all in realms of influence and we all have a race to run, but he's called us salt and light. And I was thinking about how that wherever the gospel is preached, the lady who gave everything and wasted herself on the Lord, how her story would be preached, and that God wants us to just be like change in his pocket, that he can spend any way he wants to do it, and to let him waste us however he wants to. And that if he puts us in situations that are rotten, that we're to be that salt that secures that rottenness and sanctifies it. So, you know, everything's in the sovereign God's hands. So if we accept our mission every morning, and like you said, just offer up our body as a living sacrifice, then we're on an adventure with him. And we, even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. And I know it's hard to love people the way that God loves them, but that's what we have to ask for, is the eyes to see people the way God sees them, and to understand that he paid that price to redeem them, and we're to give the good news of that price that was paid, and the chips fall where they may as far as how they receive that cross and the good news. You know, to some it's foolishness, and to some it's the power of God unto salvation. But it's our job to proclaim it. It's the foolishness of preaching. So God puts us in all these situations, and even Andrew's situation there, you know, to be around some hardened Catholics or whatever it is, there's no substitution for power. And we have the power of God in us and with us wherever we go. And we just need to draw on it. We need to covet those gifts that God wants to flow through us. And we need to, you know, ask God to love these people enough to show us the secrets of their heart, to give us a word of knowledge, to break open the conversation in a way so that God gets to take control, that he gets to expose their hearts and show his love for them as a sign and a wonder. And that when we preach the word, that it's confirmed with signs and wonders. And we talked about last week or whenever it was about these false revivals. Those are people that follow after signs, and the signs follow after us. We don't follow after the signs. So that's kind of just in a nutshell what's been on my mind. And not to forget about the power of God that is available, because that power is what's going to make the difference. It's not with cunning words or any kind of style or any kind of thing we can muster up, because God's just like a lion ready to pounce on every situation if we'll let him live large like he wants to. Love you all.
Amen. Thank you, George. It's always good words of wisdom from up in Maine, from a down home boy. Thank you, George. All right. Listen, we need to pray for Tracy. She's too weak right now for them to do any chemo on her. And I want to pray for her, and I'd like for y'all to believe with me and pray also if you feel led to. Father, I lift up Tracy to you. Lord, she's at her extremity. And you've already told us that when we're at our weakest, Lord, that's when you're the strongest. And I ask and I pray right now, Lord, that you place in Tracy bold faith to believe now is the time for the glory of God to be shown in her. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, if there's any unforgiveness in her, I ask, Father, that you show it to her, that she would repent of it and be ready for this great glory that I'm praying for right now for her and her situation there. It's always, Lord, I've seen it happen time and time again when the doctors have done all they can, that you always step in and said, okay, it's my turn now. I'm going to show you something. And Lord, I thank you for doing this for Tracy. Lord, you know where her faith is. She doesn't have a whole lot of strength, but we have faith with her, just like the man that lowered the man down through the roof. We can do the same thing for Tracy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that cancer to leave her in the name of Jesus. That spirit of cancer, you go, and all your buddies go with it, in Jesus' name. All symptoms of it go in the name of Jesus. And I command strength. Lord, I ask that you touch her with your finger of healing, and that the power of God would rush through her body and do a healing miracle that would stun the medical world where she is, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Tracy. And that would bring her family into the kingdom as well. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for Tracy. In Jesus' name. Does anybody else want to pray? Well, Lord, it's done. I believe it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father, for Tracy's complete deliverance from cancer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Lord, I just thank you for a good night tonight. It's been a wonderful night. I've had a wonderful time with my brothers and sisters. I just love y'all. And I thank you, Lord, for another good night. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Give them a good night's sleep tonight. Let them wake up in the morning singing good old happy songs. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. To have the love of God in their heart, Lord, in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. All right.